Knowledge Fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan. Knowledge Fight.
Need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Emmerich Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
How you doing today?
I'm all right.
Yeah, I got a quick question.
Okay, already asked a question. How am I doing? I'm doing all right.
All right. Can I? Okay. My second question.
Yes.
Can I ask a second question?
Mm-hmm.
Oh shit, that was the second question. Okay.
Let's not who's on first this thing.
What's your bright spot today?
I would say competence.
Competence.
Yes, mild levels of competence. So many of these bright spots for me are ending up being just like little things, like I put up a shelf or whatever.
Yeah, but that's great.
Sure. I was complaining to you already about this, but yeah. Like, you know. Going through life is kind of basically like, well, you solve one problem and it creates another.
Sure.
So recently, you know, this new apartment that I've moved in, very hot. It's very hot.
It's
starting to heat up in the summer here in Chicago. And so you solve that problem. You express a little bit of competence. You
Absolutely.
Get an air conditioning unit, put it in the window, install it.
Now it's nice inside.
Wonderful. Now
Perfect.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Flash forward a couple days, you find out, uh-oh. It's not sealed. The window's not sealed. Now there's a bunch of bugs in the house.
That can be an issue, yes.
So, you know, today I've had to spend a good bit of time trying to figure out ways to seal up these windows in order to keep the coldness and not have the bugs. And,
right.
You know, it's just this is all a hassle, but it also feels really good to be like in a position, in a place in life where you're like, all right, there are problems. You sure. can solve them.
Sure.
So that's kind of nice. You know, just like, you know, it's not... Whereas at other times, maybe bugs would have been like, I've got to run away.
Right.
I can't handle this. You know, this time, you know, now I'm able to try and patch up the window.
Yeah.
So that's good.
It's a
celebration.
You know, when you say like my bright spots are small stuff, I think now, especially like the things that we can take control over are all of our bright spots. Everything around us is completely batshit.
I think there's something to that. And I think I'm experiencing that and wanting to recognize. Recognize it.
Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. So
Absolutely.
How about you?
My bright spot is I put my book out on
Yay.
Into the world. I put it out into the world.
At long last. You've been George R.R. Martining everybody.
Yes. I've spent a year writing it and then leaving it alone. And so I decided to put it out.
Yeah.
It's called The Quiet Part Loud. And I got thequietpartloud.com. How crazy is that?
That is a little bit, but that's
not,
it's not the craziest thing I've ever heard. That's good. That's lucky.
That is lucky.
It's not stars aligning.
Right. Sure.
Literally.
Sure. The planets aligned.
Exactly.
The planets were aligned.
Yeah.
Whenever I got it. But
so that's great. People can go to that website and they can download your book for free. And if they'd like to chip in a little bit as a, hey, here you go. You wrote a book.
You got it.
They're
nice
free to do that.
Pat on the head. Yeah. That'd be great.
Thequietpartloud.com. And be sure the is at the beginning.
The is at the beginning. Yes.
Someone else is going to get quietpartloud.com and direct it to
newswars.com. I was like, maybe I can get both of those, but somebody owns Quiet Part Loud.
It's probably
I don't
Alex.
Know who. God, if he did it already, I'm going to be pissed.
Yep.
That bastard.
So, Jordan, today
we've
got an episode to go over. We're going to be talking about July 12th and 13th, 2020. I'm Dan. This is 2020.
Oh, you weren't going to go with Autonomous Zone?
I like to keep you on your toes.
All right. Fair enough. God damn it.
this is interesting. I would say that I probably would generally be bored with a lot of the racism that Alex expresses on these episodes.
Naturally.
That we'll talk about a little bit. And maybe it would be a situation where, hey, it's the present day, Alex sucks, you know, that kind of thing. However, there are two stories that I consider to be ongoing.
Okay.
Developing stories.
Okay.
The first was on our last episode, we discussed how Alex was having a Clemency for Roger special on Saturday.
Right.
Emergency episode. Alex came to the studio on his day off and interviewed Mancow. did not interview Roger. Roger was not there.
Never not funny.
So now, on that Saturday show, yes. Alex said Roger will be on Sunday.
Will be on Sunday.
Which is the 12th, which yes. is part of the reason we've got to keep this continuing right. storyline right. going. We need to see what Roger says when he shows up on right. InfoWars.
Naturally, based on the way you're building this up, I can only assume that Roger shows up from minute one and stays on for the entire show.
It is an ongoing story, and we will keep you updated with developments.
Okay.
Second story that I did not think was ongoing
okay.
is the Wayfair conspiracy. That
how is that still ongoing?
That is apparently a ball that is still there's still some motion on the field.
I thought we landed on the it's not a conspiracy. Well, could be, but it's not.
You remember at the end of the episode, after Alex spent a long time saying it's a honey trap sure. and don't get in there, sure. he's like, but also maybe it's real.
He wants a little bit of that honey.
Exactly.
I see what's going on here.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see how this develops over the course of these days as well.
Okay.
But before we get down to business on that, we got to take a moment to say thank you to some folks who have signed up and supporting the show. So first of all, thank you to Smiley Good Hands. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Smiley.
Thank you. Next, Stark. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Stark.
Thank you. Next, Dutch Ado About Nothing. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Dutch Ado About Nothing.
I'm almost certain that's a reference to my parents' old mechanic.
Oh.
Next, Clay C. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Clay.
Thank you. Next, Chris N. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Welcome to the conspiracy, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Next, Asura. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Asura.
Thank you. Next, Douglas H. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Doug.
Next we have Ryan Brian. It's Brian. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you. Next, we have Ryan Brian. It's Brian.
Okay, so next we have Brian It's Brian.
It's Brian.
Okay, thanks, Brian.
Then finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple people donated on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much. So first of all, James P., thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And Alice J., thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right?
Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good?
My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, James, and thank you so much, Alice.
Yes, thank you very much to the both of you.
If you're out there listening and you're thinking, hey, I enjoy the show, I'd like to support these gents, too, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show. We would appreciate it. Or you can take that generosity that you feel and grind it in a little machine that sits on your countertop.
Okay.
Put it inside a little paper cup thing.
All right.
Run a bunch of hot water over
okay.
it. And then you hand it to your local charity because they need a pick-me-up in coffee right. form.
I like it.
Generosity
like
coffee form.
I think that worked.
That was a C at
best. I think that worked.
So, Jordan, we're going to jump in on Sunday, but before we do, here is an out-of-context drop from today's show.
I've never been a devil worshiper. When I was a teenager and stuff, I was on the fence.
Oh. Oh, you were? Oh, were you? You were on the fence about the devil.
Well, you know, you join with the devil, you don't join with the devil. Who knows what's going to go
right,
work
Alex.
Out for the best in you the end, you yeah. know?
I was on the fence about the devil.
On the fence about the devil. All right.
So weird. Also, one other thing. No seltzer update today, but I do want to say I have not forgotten about
yes.
the fact that I did say that after I moved, I was going to get a pet. And
yes.
there's been a lot. There have been people who have been clamoring to know what this pet will be.
There have been
and,
questions.
And the answers are forthcoming.
Okay.
This is
right.
It takes a little bit longer to settle into a place
of
than
course.
You are. I have a
of
lot
course.
Of new pet bugs.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now. But that is coming. Don't worry about it. And I have made a decision.
Okay. You know what you do.
What's that?
Here's what you do. All right. Now is the time. Make a treaty with the spider leadership. They will take care of your bugs. Everybody knows this is how that you solve things.
I have no problem with spiders for the most part.
See, there we go.
They're welcome.
Let's travel to Vietnam. Vietnam and
no,
get
that's
this
the beetles.
Oh, that was the beetle beings.
Vietnam.
What were yeah, the spider leadership in Egypt?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That's scarabs. we start here, and like I said, the Wayfair story is ongoing in a way that I did not expect. I started listening to Sunday, and I was like, Alex, why the fuck are you doing this?
Now, with that broke Friday, a huge Wayfair story, the big online merchant company, with people supposedly in the names of kidnapped children selling $15,000, $10,000 cabinets. I said, is this a cover for money laundering, a cover to deliver kids? I said, I don't think so, but it could be. But when you see something like this, the media is focusing on, instead of all the confirmed massive roll-up of huge globalist pedophile rings, it could be a setup. I've witnessed it before to distract us. But then everybody sent me the Amazon and the rest of them sites going back years. This is widespread, and this is really bad, folks.
Wow.
And then I got reminded Backpage and on Craigslist and a bunch of other places they busted people selling items when it was really prostitution a few years ago with code words. So I did a deep dive on that last night.
Good work.
I was going to go out with some friends on the boat, but I did not stay at home and did the research. And I got to say right now.
Did you hire somebody?
You need to research this heavily and look at this heavily. And the boldness of these people just completely blows me away. So I'm going to cover that. Hour number two.
That is real bad. I mean, that's almost like, that's very close to getting into the territory he had with Pizzagate. Like, you need to look into this.
No. That's somebody convincing themselves to buy a used car they know is going to explode on them. What are you doing?
From someone who sold them a used car that blew up in the past.
All right, so you sold me the first used car. Shame on you.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy this second used car because I fucking love it.
That's why the feelings that I had about him yesterday or on our last episode were so conditional. It was like, it seems like you're on the right path saying it's a stupid way to deliver trafficked people. good, but oh no, Alex.
Sometimes I swear to God, sometimes he raises you up only to disappoint you even further.
Yep.
I think it's
cruelty.
I think it's coming after you. This is entirely him just like finding ways to just needle you a little bit. He's got nothing left, Dan.
Build up a semblance of like, hey, good job, Alex. Oh, come on, man. But honestly, the reality of the situation is that I think Alex got too much pushback from his audience.
Sure.
I think that they're really into the Wayfair conspiracy.
Great.
And he's like, shit, we're going to alienate a lot of people.
Need to get their money,
You know, some listeners got mad that I said, well, this could be a trap. It could be a setup because I've seen that happen before. And then they sent me all this material and I was like, okay, this is insane. It just gets worse than I could even imagine all the time. And it shows how evil's really grown. Speaking of that.
So,
yes, this is insane. Alex, that is the correct response.
Alex's audience has sent him some memes or something. And now he is like, oh, shit. Wayfair is selling people. Can't believe it.
Yeah, you know, I every morning I wake up and I just remind myself, like every morning I'm just looking at the news going like, so we're really doing this, huh?
Yeah.
This is what we're doing.
Does seem like that is a response that is understandable to have.
You know, like it's that weird. Resigned, like I feel like I'm trudging every day, just like, I guess this is what we're doing.
Kind of like, yep, here we go.
Alex saying that Wayfair conspiracy is real is like, all right. That's what we're doing then.
I guess so.
All right. I'll get in this car.
Hope no one gets shot. Cool. We've done this. We've played this game before, Alex.
All right, buddy.
You know where this road goes.
Okay.
You even said it yourself. You smell trouble.
We'll see you when the bullet holes show up. Thanks,
so,
Alex.
Alex said he's going to talk about this later, and we'll get into some specifics of his theory later. But before, he gets pretty racist on this episode. Sure. And part of that is based on how he covers various stories. Mm. And this is the chief one of them. This is the big story that he's covering in a white identity, white fear manner that the story does not necessarily match.
Young white mother executed by Black Lives Matter mob for allegedly saying all lives matter. They were approached by the group of BLM. And this is all on local surveillance cameras, but no news will pick it up other than just mentioning she's been shot in the head and died. And they'll ask you like at checkpoints, like Antifa does, do Black Lives Matter? And she said, yeah, Black Lives Matter. All lives matter. Well, they went and got a gun and came back and shot her in the head. So but she's dead now. I guess she deserves it.
So this is a story that Alex is completely misrepresenting. Before I get into any of this, I want to be clear that I'm not minimizing the tragedy of unnecessary death, nor am I saying that any party's behavior in this story justifies shooting. My only point is that the available information completely contradicts what Alex is reporting, because he doesn't actually care about the reality of this story. He's interested in creating a fear in white people of non-white people. That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
This is about a woman from Indianapolis named Jessica Whitaker, who was shot and killed in the very early morning of hours of July 5th. She was walking with her fiancé and two other friends near the canal in Indianapolis around 3 a.m. As the group passed a group of strangers, one of the people in Whitaker's group was overheard saying the N-word. The group of strangers responded by yelling Black Lives Matter at them, to which Whitaker replied, All Lives Matter. I'm going to read what happened next from the article about this in the Daily Mail. Her fiancé, quote, said both groups brandished guns at each other, but eventually talked through the issues, fist bumped, and walked away from each other. So it appeared that everything was all right, but apparently it wasn't, and they ended up getting into a shootout. This group of strangers initially shot at them, and fire was returned, and sadly, Ms. Whitaker died. Incidentally, this is the second homicide that's taken place in this stretch of the Indianapolis Canal in just that week. Previously, a 14-year-old was shot, allegedly the result of an adult shooting him in self-defense after the youth attempted to pull off an armed robbery. So this is maybe an area where there's a little bit of crime going on right now.
It seems like everybody's carrying a gun around.
This is an awful story, but you can easily and pretty immediately see the factual misrepresentations that Alex has added to his version of it so that his story more easily fits his narratives of white victimhood and fear. For one, he completely ignores the setting and the inciting incident of the event. He doesn't mention that it was at 3 in the morning and the altercation began because someone used the N-word. Again, that's not to say that I'm saying that that justifies a shooting, but it's relevant if you're reporting this story.
Sure.
Alex's version of the story has cast these people as Black Lives Matter protesters who randomly accosted this white person on the street and insisted that they pledge allegiance to BLM. And when they dare say all lives matter, they're executed. This is obviously not at all accurate from the available reporting on the story. Alex has found a story with a white victim and suspects who yelled Black Lives Matter, and everything else past that is the creation of his imagination.
Yeah, the pieces fall into place the moment you have those two things.
Yeah, and all the rest of it is just his made-up shit. This is something that only a very deeply racist person would do. The complete misreporting of stories like this, specifically for the reason of creating racially charged feeling, is an act of profound bigotry. And I think, honestly, doing something like this, and with the regularity that we see Alex doing this, that's way more damning than if he just said slurs on air.
Yeah.
I think that this is worse.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not for me to decide. I'm not the target of this, you know, to say, like,
right.
relative scale of it. But I think that this denotes more racism.
Yeah. I mean, a slur is awful and offensive, but it's not necessarily always inciting a bunch of passionate gun weirdos into believing that every black person is coming to fucking execute them if they don't swear fealty to Black Lives Matter.
And if somebody,
that's scary.
And if somebody yells Black Lives Matter, you better agree or else you're going to get killed.
Or you're dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
It's very dangerous, the sort of, especially when the actual, you know, basis, the story that he's basing it on, it doesn't match. That's not the reality of what happened.
Yeah.
Anyway, he has another story that he turns into a racial story that I don't know if I can find evidence is.
Shock subway video shows deranged man, black man, stabbing multiple white people on the New York subway. That won't be on your news anywhere.
You can find plenty of stories about this in outlets like the New York Post or the Daily Mail. It's not something that's being ignored by the media as much as it is more of a local issue. From everything I can tell, this is a story about a mentally unwell person attacking two people on a train, which sucks, but it's not national news. For one thing, the suspect was arrested and is facing charges of attempted murder, attempted assault, among other counts. Both of the victims, who were in their 70s, survived and are in stable condition, so that's a bright side to this whole thing and makes it far less severe of a story than it would be had it have gone the other way.
Totally.
Certainly, it's not nothing if I lived in New York or, you know, even not living in New York, it's relevant. There was a stabbing. I'm not playing that down, but the idea that everybody needs to be talking about this and pointing out that it was a black guy who did it is absurd. There's an important distinction here that Alex fails to grasp at all. And that is just because the person who happens to commit this crime is black and the victim happens to be white, that doesn't mean that race is really involved at all. In this case, I can see no evidence that race was a factor in the crime, and in fact, the better case could be made that this was an ageist crime, since the suspect said, quote, "Why aren't you at home with your kids?" before commencing the attack, and they were two dudes in their 70s.
Yeah.
For Alex, he sees a black guy attack a white person, and he believes, or at least reports, that the black guy did it because the guy was white. That's a really stupid way to look at things, but when you begin to glimpse the racism, you know, that the point that you do is when you start to recognize that Alex doesn't operate this way when the races are reversed.
Yeah.
When a white person commits a crime and the victim is black, Alex will go out of his way to justify why racism isn't involved at all. All you have to do is look back to his coverage of Ahmaud Arbery's killing as a perfect example of how this doesn't play out the same way in those circumstances. And again, this is just a fingerprint of a deeply racist program.
Yeah, he spends all of his time with Ahmaud Arbery trying to explain why it's more fine. Hey, look, I don't want him to be dead, but it's more fine that he's dead than other people.
But you got
to
understand.
Yeah, I mean, hey, it happens. You just got to shoot people sometimes. Yeah. And then if it's... And it's so much like... I don't know if it's emblematic of a complete inability to understand why, or if it's a pure ability to understand why. Do you know what I'm saying? Like this is a rebuttal to people pointing out the horrific police violence and the racist attacks and the fucking modern day lynchings that are still fucking going on. And they are emblematic of a long, long history of doing this shit.
Mm.
Pulling up any kind of like, well, see, a black person hurt a white person as a defense against that is either misunderstanding that each individual act is part of a larger whole that needs to be corrected, or it's understanding that that is the case and we have to find any way to stop it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Somewhat, yeah. I think that there is the biggest issue is an unwillingness to recognize that sometimes when there are crimes with white victims, it's not because they're white. You know, and honestly, like me bringing up the case of Ahmaud Arbery is almost a bad example in this case, because you could make a very strong argument that the reason that they did target him was because he was black.
It's a very strong argument.
So there is a pretty compelling racial component of that. At this point, I don't know what information will eventually come out because the guy did get arrested, but that guy on the train did not seem to be, from all the reporting I can find, have any racial component to what he did at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just, it's a mess.
So that's what I'm saying. He's trying to imagine it into a rebuttal to the Ahmaud Arbery thing.
That's fair.
You know?
Yeah. So Alex is pissed off about the situation with that couple in St. Louis who had the guns out with the protesters.
Sure.
It turns out that they have ended up having their home searched.
Cool.
There's a little bit of an investigation going on.
Good.
And Alex is not happy about this.
Cops raid mansion of St. Louis couple who defended home from protesters, confiscated AR-15. So folks broke down their gate, came and said they're going to kill them. And now they've raided them or getting ready to charge them. The local district attorney is appointed by George Soros, funded by George Soros.
Apparently, this couple, the McCloskeys of St. Louis, have had their home searched and their AR-15 was confiscated.
Good.
There's an investigation open into them because they were straight up pointing guns at people, and Patricia McCloskey had her finger on the trigger of her pistol. Under normal circumstances, that is illegal to brandish a weapon at somebody, but it becomes really complicated when you start to factor in ideas of self-defense and stand-your-ground laws and the Castle Doctrine. It's an open question about whether or not the McCloskey's argument of feeling threatened and thus being justified in brandishing weapons and self-defense is valid. And the fact that Patricia was pointing a gun at people and had no firearms training, that doesn't look great.
Mm-mm.
Legally, they're probably going to end up fine, though. I'm going to guess.
Have you read up on their history?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Yep, they're not cool.
Yeah, no, that's one of those things where it's like, hey, if you guys get them for this, this is the IRS taking down Capone. There's a long history of shit they need to be taken down.
I'm not
down
sure
for.
They're bootlegging and murdering,
yeah.
Anyway, the DA of Missouri is not involved in this case at all. The office that opened the investigation is that of St. Louis Circuit Attorney Kimberly Gardner. Though Alex has her position wrong and is just talking shit, I do want to say that what he's saying isn't totally based on nothing. Gardner won her election to the Circuit Attorney's Office in 2017, and she did accept funding from a super PAC called the Safety and Justice Committee, which Soros did donate to.
Okay.
So at least there's a little kernel of truth in that she got some Soros funding. But Alex's whole, like, he's installing everybody.
That's a stroke of luck for Alex, not for anything else. Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
So Alex goes international, man.
Oh, no. Why? What's he doing outside?
I don't know. Someone fucking showed him a video on Twitter.
Meanwhile, Antifa attacks anti-pedophile demonstration. Police say they did a good job, basically, protected them.
So that was in Ireland.
Yes.
And I was able to find this video. And so what's going on is it's some kind of a demonstration that's going on the streets. It's tough to say exactly what's going on. And then some loud music starts playing. The camera cuts over to two people holding up a banner that says, quote, "All you fascists bound to lose," standing next to a setup of what looks like at least like 5 amps.
Uh-huh.
The crowd then descends on them, tears up the banner, and kicks over the amps. And it does it's hard to keep track of where people are in the crowd, but I would not be surprised if they got roughed up a bit.
Okay, okay.
This was challenging, but I was able to find some context for this.
All right.
This is an event that is called an anti-pedophilia rally in the same way that Milo Yiannopoulos speaking events on college campuses are pro-free speech.
Sure.
It's essentially an extreme right-wing group using the cover of something that you probably can't possibly be against in order to give them cover to operate their stealthier agenda. Mm-hmm. You see this a lot with people like Tommy Robinson. He'll engage in horrific anti-Muslim agitation and demonization, but if you call him out on it, you're accused of supporting the grooming gangs and all that stuff.
Yeah, cancel culture.
Yeah, it's a really standard fascist trick, and it appears to be the case in Ireland with this video.
Oh, those fascists are so smart.
This rally was being run by a guy named Justin Barrett, the leader of the National Party. According to The Beacon, in 1998, Barrett wrote a book called The National Way Forward, in which he, quote, calls for a constitution configured according to Catholic doctrine and the creation of a Catholic dictatorship.
That's always worked well in the past for Ireland.
This, he argues, is the only way to save Ireland from the scourge of liberalism and immorality.
Oh, can't do it.
He's staunchly opposed to immigration, entirely against reproductive rights to the point of advocating the death penalty for abortion doctors,
sure,
and seems to support the criminalization of homosexuality and divorce. On at least 3 occasions, he's spoken at events held by the German neo-Nazi party NPD, including one event in 2000 where he was the guest of honor. In 2002, in the Irish Times, they include what is described as a, quote, "stinging rebuke" of Barrett from John Smythe, who's the spokesperson of the anti-abortion pro-life campaign, mm-hmm. who even he
is
hates
like,
him.
Jesus Christ.
Quote, "No amount of evasion or spin on Mr. Barrett's part can explain away the seriousness of attending such conferences. It's nonsense to contend that speaking at a neo-fascist rally somehow serves the interests of building a more caring pro-life culture or the broader human rights agenda which he claims to espouse. The groups with which Mr. Barrett and Youth Defense are reported to be associated have an agenda of social exclusion and political extremism far removed from the ethos of respect and moderation that should animate the pro-life movement." You know, keep your scoffing aside and whatever.
Sure.
Your point is valid.
Sure. I know.
But even this
guy
can recognize, like, this guy's a fucking fascist.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. If you're there, you're gone.
Even ideological allies in the realm of abortion recognize that this dude's a fucking asshole and probably a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
Barrett was a leader of an Irish group called Youth Defense, which is mentioned in that guy's quote, which is a really bad group.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The NPD's youth division, the Young National Democrats, held a conference in 1999 where Barrett spoke by virtue of his connection with Youth Defense. Mm-hmm. Also in attendance there was William Luther Pierce, author of the Turner Diaries.
Great.
This is the guy who was running this rally in Ireland, so it kind of makes sense that there were some counter-demonstrators who would show up and protest. It's very easy to pretend that their protest was somehow anti-pedophilia in nature, but when you have a better understanding of who's holding the rally, you should get the picture that this rally was not anti-pedophile to begin with.
Yeah.
That's a fascist rally wearing an anti-pedophile hat.
Yeah.
That's what's going on there.
Yeah. No. At every anti-pedophile rally, we do start with the Sieg Heil, but that's just tradition, Dan. It's not about that. It's not about those... Okay, sure, the swastika is everywhere.
There were a bunch of pictures of people holding signs of
nuisance. We were neutral in the war, Dan.
It's a mess. So Alex gets complaining. You brought up cancel culture there. Alex has some thoughts.
Oh, of course about, he does. The discourse.
About a buddy of his.
Oh, God.
And if you'd like to stand up to the globalists and stand up to the main Paul Revere operation, battering, ramming the New World Order, other than Tucker Carlson, they're trying to take off the air right now, please support him. Please get products at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139. 4th of July super sale continues. Free shipping and double Patriot points.
Weird voice.
That is a weird voice.
So on Friday, it was revealed that Tucker Carlson's top writer, Blake Neff, had been using an alias to post a bunch of racist and sexist stuff on a web forum.
What? Writer for Tucker?
Haha. According to an examination by CNN, quote, "There has at times also been overlap between some material he posted or saw in the forum and Carlson's show."
Wow.
This is a guy who is a Tucker guy. Prior to working on the show, he was a reporter at the Daily Caller, which is a blog that Tucker co-founded.
Yeesh.
This is a guy who worked for Tucker and Tucker-adjacent entities for years, which makes it a little hard to shrug off as just like, it's a random employee.
Hey.
This wasn't something he'd been doing years ago, either. This was current behavior.
Yeah, but it was a hobby. What are you going to... You're going to judge a guy for... Some people, they whittle. Some people build canoes. This guy's a massive racist. Mm. What are you going to do? It's a hobby.
Interesting perspective.
It doesn't get in the way of his professional life.
There's also a quote from Neff that, quote, anything Carlson is reading off the teleprompter, the first draft is written by me.
Sure, there's that. Mm. But that doesn't mean that Tucker knew about it.
Sure. Neff resigned on Friday, and then on Monday, Tucker announced that he was taking a, quote, long-planned vacation. Which is suspicious.
Planned!
In the fact that it's exactly what he did when all his advertisers bailed last August.
Planned years in advance. This is a around the world in 80 days kind of situation.
This is not cancel culture run amok. This is a revelation that the head writer for an increasingly racist talk show host is in fact a guy who posts racist shit online under an alias. And now people get to make up their minds what they want to think about it. Obviously, Fox News thought it wasn't cool because the dude resigned, since he almost certainly would have been fired to try and put out the story. Some more advertisers might bail, but Tucker's hoping he can just wait this out on another vacation and come back in a few weeks with a new racist head writer who's much better at anonymity.
Of which he is almost certainly correct.
And it's not like he could ever shake the MyPillow guy. That guy's going to sponsor his show no matter what.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Imagining that Fox News cares, that Tucker cares, that Neff cares, frankly, anybody cares other than people who are like, we're way past this, man. Yeah. We already knew that he was racist. I don't care if he posts anywhere. Just him being on... If you work on Tucker's show, there's a good chance you're racist.
Probably.
Right?
I mean, at least on some level.
Even if you're a camera guy, like listening... If you're a camera guy that listens to that on a daily basis...
It seems like it would be tough.
That'd be tough.
I don't know, though. I'm trying to compare this to when I worked at a roast beef place. I thought the food was kind of gross, but I still worked there.
True.
I don't think it's the same.
The food never said the N-word in private, though.
Yeah, that's true. The roast beef. Roast beef was pretty cool in terms of that.
It's very laconic. It was a one-word roast beef.
Hard to say.
Yeah.
So that voice that Alex was doing that was super weird was while he was talking about Tucker and how you need to support him and you need to support Alex, too. Right. And of course, it's part of a sales pitch. Alex says something really weird about his iodine, and I mean, we've heard stuff like this before, but I just wanted to keep this in just to keep a little marker on this.
Okay.
Survival Shield X3, the good tri-iodine to get that key building block to your whole body that's essential that so many people are deficient in. The UN estimates over 2 billion people have mental disabilities or lower IQs because they didn't get enough iodine or not getting enough iodine. It's the ambrosia, the key, the real adrenochrome that God gave us.
He's signaling to QAnon weirdos and those people who are all into the adrenochrome stuff.
Sure.
Although he's been on board with that probably longer than they have.
Yeah.
So
I would give him that.
Well, I mean, what was it? Early 2017, I think, was when he had Eddie Bravo on and he was trying to tell him about how the elites drink your adrenochrome.
Yeah.
So he might actually predate a lot of the QAnon people. He might want to try and reclaim that from them.
I've been hearing about adrenochrome for a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while. Anyway, I just think that's funny, Alex being like, my iodine's the real adrenochrome.
I don't know why you think it's a good idea to compare it to adrenochrome.
That seems weird.
That does seem like it defeats your purpose.
Well, but based on how they've built it up, the elites must get really high on that stuff.
Sure.
So it must be pretty awesome.
Right.
Don't you want something you can get really high on too?
Yeah, but...
Iodine.
But the elites know about iodine. If it's better than adrenochrome.
Not nascent iodine.
Oh, that's true.
Not tri-iodine, whatever the fuck Alex sells.
You know what? You're right.
Deep earth crystals.
I made the mistake there.
Yeah.
The elites don't know about anything below the earth.
Yeah. So just after our last episode came out, I hopped on Twitter while I was doing some editing.
Sure.
And I see some upsetting headlines about the White House releasing some opposition research on Dr. Fauci.
It's great. No. That's what you want from an executive branch.
I felt really weird about that because we had played a clip on the episode of Alex talking about taking credit for Fauci being on the outs and stuff.
And
I felt like people might not know that, we were recording that before that news came out. So we were not aware of that at all.
No.
And now that that has happened, Alex is thrilled.
Of course.
And he talks about that a little bit more.
The White House made a list of all the times Fauci has been wrong on coronavirus. That's out of the Daily Beast. They're so upset and so mad that anyone would even keep score and see is an expert accurate. Like a football coach that lost every play, every game, never put 1 point on the board, you'd fire them in a couple games.
The thing I can't get my head around right now is why Trump just doesn't fire Fauci. Like, what could possibly be stopping him from firing the dude? Well, when you still decide that it's a good idea to just keep him in his position while trying to undermine his ability to do the job.
Absolutely no clue.
I have no idea what's going on.
What, is somebody going to hold him accountable for it? Get the fuck out of here.
It's so baffling to me, but I guess, you know, that might be an indication of, like, how dictators operate when they're not sure in their footing yet.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't care about this dumb fuck political posturing in the middle of a pandemic.
Uh-uh.
There's no time for stuff like this in a mature world, and we need to directly reject this sort of bullshit. I'll take Alex seriously about keeping score as soon as he applies the same standards he's insisting for Fauci onto Trump and himself. Until that point, this kind of childish lashing out doesn't even rise to the level, in my eyes, of, like, deserving attention.
Nope.
And I'm mostly only keeping this and the next clip in kind of to be like, well, I certainly hope this doesn't look really, really terrible in a couple months.
Now, I told you back in May that I challenged the president on air and off air to sideline Fauci and to use that term as a code word that he understood what was happening and was going to build a case to actually destroy Gates and Fauci. Now, I don't know if Trump's going to go that way. He'll get somebody close before he destroys him, but he has got Gates in there right now in this whole vaccine commission, I think, to keep his enemies close.
So Alex is taking responsibility for feeding the information to Trump to get Fauci on the outs, and he's insisting that Trump is communicating with him in secret code using the word sideline.
Correct.
So, great.
Trump also placed an ad in the Austin Statesman that only Alex knows how to read. If you, it's not an acrostic, but it's every eighth word, the second letter of every eighth word is how Alex gets his messages. Mm-hmm. And this last one said, great job.
Okay.
Yeah, I read it.
Well, that's pretty. Yeah, you've got to frame that.
It's really cool. Cool. Yeah.
So Alex gets into discussing virus stuff being a hoax.
Sure.
And one of the big headlines on this is that there was a guy who is a correspondent for, like, NBC and MSNBC, and he had had coronavirus, or he believed that he had COVID-19, and turns out, what do you know? He ends up getting an antibody test. It comes back negative. So Alex believes that this is proof that this is all a hoax.
Oh, no, that's not good.
It really, you know, I can't say that I had a brush with death, but it was enough to put me in the ICU for 4 days and in the hospital for 6 days.
And we have the link on Infowars.com, NBC News, little footnote. He did not have COVID. He tested negative, which means he hasn't had a cold or the flu in 10 years on average, and it didn't show up. Unbelievable.
What?
That's not what that means.
No.
Alex is going on and on about how this doctor who was interviewed on NBC, he claimed to have COVID-19 and it's now a hoax. It's really confusing because the clip Alex plays is just that guy, Dr. Joseph Fair, explaining that he was really sick and it's no joke, even if you don't have underlying conditions. In reality, Alex is kind of just fudging this story. In May, Fair got really sick, and according to his telling of it, he had basically all of the symptoms that are associated with COVID-19. He got some nasal swab tests, some of them at home, and they came back negative. But because he was presenting as a very likely COVID case, and there's the possibility of false negatives, his case was presumed to be COVID.
Right.
Now, a couple months later, after he's made a recovery, Fair got an antibody test, which came back negative. And this presents a number of possible scenarios that could be going on here. The first is that he had an unknown condition that was very similar in progression of symptoms to COVID-19, and he recovered from it, leaving this a medical mystery that remains to be solved. It's also possible that the nasal swabs he took were false negatives, but the antibody test could be accurate. This would mean that he did have COVID-19, but he doesn't have antibodies that would show up in a test for them. That is conceivably possible. As of this point, it's unclear exactly what's up here, but Fair has said he's consulting more doctors to try and get to the bottom of what happened. He's seeing additional experts, and he's taking a follow-up antibody test, so hopefully he'll be able to get to the bottom of what happened. The scenario that I think is most unlikely in all this is what Alex is suggesting, namely that Dr. Fair faked his illness or something to hype COVID-19 fears. That seems a little ridiculous, and if he really had faked everything, why would he then reveal that he tested negative for the antibody test? It's not like his doctor could even legally release that information. Nah. He put that out himself.
Yeah.
If this was all a staged hoax, why would you do that? That makes no sense.
Well, I mean, the most terrifying possibility is one that is becoming more and more researched, and there's more and more evidence for it, is that the antibodies go away. You don't have permanent immunity to it.
That could be a factor in this. It's unclear.
That's terrifying.
Right. It's unclear if that plays a role in this story. And yeah. I mean, I'm not going to keep track of it necessarily, but if it comes up, we'll check back in on it. Yeah. But I mean, this guy is not a prop. He's not like a cardboard cutout. This is a guy who's living his life. And
false flag.
The idea that like he's sitting there and like, you know, I mean, you're just a human being. If you're in the ICU for a while and you presume that you have COVID-19,
right,
and then you end up having some sort of an indication that maybe you didn't, you know, that's kind of even scarier. Because now you're like, well, what I had could come back.
Yeah.
Could be a chronic condition of some kind. You know, there's a lot, you know, it's pretty scary. So I would assume that he's going to continue trying to figure out what's going on, if only for his own sanity and health.
I mean, how many times have you heard, or I've even felt it, of like the moment I got my diagnosis of bipolar, I was like, oh, thank God there's a reason and I understand it, you know, to then, if it was then ripped away from me and it's like, we have no fucking clue what's wrong with you. That would be terrifying in its own manner.
Yeah,
I kind of had
the reverse when I was younger, when I was like really depressed and lethargic as a teen and such. They were like, you know, it's probably something with your thyroid. And they convinced me almost that like there's a really good chance that we'll just have to give you this and everything will be better.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that.
Yeah.
Got my hopes dashed.
Yep.
But Jordan, now we get to the point in this July 12th episode that we've been waiting for.
Okay.
Roger Stone is not here.
Okay.
But
I knew it.
Alex does get back to the Wayfair thing.
Yes.
He wanted to talk a little bit more about some dumb shit his audience sent
him.
Sure,
of course.
He's really warming up to this in a way that I think will look bad.
So when I saw this Wayfair thing break Friday with the big online, you know, vendor site, you know, competition to Amazon, I looked at it and it was so ridiculous. $100, $200 cabinets for $10,000, $13,000, $14,000, $15,000, $16,000, $17,000, and pillows that were maybe $30 for $5,000, with, in some cases, the names of missing children on them. And I thought, with Ghislaine Maxwell breaking and the giant pedophile rings getting busted breaking and getting almost no coverage, the big rings
really
busted, Ghislaine's getting coverage, I said, this just looks too ridiculous. I mean, obviously, the media spun it that they're not shipping kids in the containers. No, but it could be money laundering. It's a symbol of the container that we're going to deliver this child to you. Obviously, it wasn't somebody adding more zeros on who made a mistake.
So apparently, the money laundering option was also about selling kids.
Yes.
Trafficked people.
Right.
Great. So
it's a promise that they will deliver
I'm
you a kid.
Worried.
Through, you know, Wayfair's portal.
Right. I'm worried for Alex.
Sure.
In the sense that, like, I mean, I don't care. I hope he gets sued.
Totally.
But it's like, you're doing this again. I worry for the sake of just like what it, like, just as a case study of a person who should know better. You know, you would think, like, we were even discussing this on the last episode, that, like, Alex did have to give a gigantic apology to James Alifantis.
Totally.
It was a humiliating thing where he had to do that or else he was going to get sued. Mm. It made for a lot of trouble. He had to get rid of Joe Biggs because of the Pizzagate coverage. He ended up spending months and months trying to pretend that he didn't do Pizzagate stuff.
Yep.
He had
a lot of work.
Videos deleted from YouTube.
A lot of effort.
And like, you don't need to do this. You can take a pass on the Wayfair thing. It's not going to stick around for a very long time. It's just some dumb QAnon bullshit that's going to happen for a bit, and then they'll move on to the next thing.
I will tell you, I think there is one case study that I can recall that reminds me very similarly of this, and it's the case study of one Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah. Just doesn't learn.
Nope, just can't learn. There are other things to eat in that desert, man.
There is.
I get it. There's a, look, it's a roadrunner.
You
it
run into
delicious.
Cactuses all the time.
It looks delicious, but it, there's other stuff out there.
Yeah. Ugh. So apparently Alex had somebody sent him some stuff on Amazon, and this changed his mind.
That did it.
Here's what changed my mind partially.
Partially.
And I'm still looking at this, and I'm not sure what's going on.
I hate you.
I'm going to show you some of this. This is shocking. Take hours to go over all of it, but I'll try my best. It turns out all these other big shopping carts, Amazon, you name it, going back years have the exact same code words. And it turns out that Backpage and Craigslist got caught with prostitution and similar things and sex trafficking of kidnapped women and children years ago.
I don't know. There's just you know, similar stuff on Amazon.
Here's my evidence.
I don't know.
Going on for a long time that nobody's noticed. Different things. Ha ha ha.
So Alex talks a little bit more about this, and he has a couple of specifics that we can sort of nail into.
But let's actually get into these. This isn't Wayfair. This is Amazon. And it's got these pillows that, again, is $18,000. And then it starts telling you, normally sold for $20, the names of it and what it does. And I'm not going to show you all of this, folks, but some of this is naked babies that are shriveled like they're starving to death.
I'll
show you some of it. And then the weird comments in these have all this code word. I tossed the helicopter. I drank the scotch.
So the reviews that Alex is talking about there at the end, they're not cryptic and full of code words. They're troll reviews that people have left over the years for these products.
Sure.
There's an entire subculture of people who write fake reviews for things on Amazon without buying the products, which is what's going on here.
Some of them often very funny.
They are. There aren't pictures of emaciated kids on Amazon. What Alex is talking about is something that QAnon weirdos found online by searching for the SKU numbers for these products in a very specific place. The SKU for a product is the stock keeping unit number, and it's what retailers use to track inventory. As it turns out, if you take the SKU numbers for these suspicious items, then add SRC USA to them, and then you search for that in the Russian search engine Yandex, you come up with some questionable image results. Some of them are children.
Are people doing Yandex searches now?
Apparently.
Is that something I've been missing out on?
This was not something I cared to research myself, but thankfully there are others who already got to the bottom of it. The account Dapper Gander on Twitter has a great thread fully explaining what's going on, which I'll sum up here as best I can. There is a Russian image sharing site called IMGSRC, where people should definitely not go. It was essentially formerly like Photo Bucket, but since as early as 2014, it's been taken over by pedophiles who post some awful shit there.
Christ.
American search engines filter out results that come from this Russian image sharing site because of the high incidence of illegal images that would come up in the results. But that filter does not exist for the Russian search engine Yandex, which is why QAnon weirdos insist on using that search engine in order to prove their conspiracy. Basically, if you search for SRC along with just about anything on Yandex, you'll have a very high likelihood of finding some at least questionable pictures. So what this boils down to is basically a scam. It's a trap, and it appears to have worked in terms of swinging Alex Jones.
Yeah.
He's fallen for this bait. The master of research in reality got fooled by a Pizzagate-ass QAnon trick.
Yeah, I don't like that bad faith actors can use monsters to portray good faith actors as monsters while bad faith actors continue the entire cycle over and over and over again without doing anything positive in the world.
Yep.
That's a real bummer.
Yep. But Alex, you know, he's realized he was wrong.
Good.
This is sick, folks. This is going back several years, 2018, 2019. So I have egg on my face. Alex Jones cannot believe they're this bad, but I guess they are. My God, this is just, finally, Dracula reveals himself. Best pillow ever.
So Alex has now decided that
somebody paint that road on the side of a cliff. Just go ahead and paint that road, and let's see if he runs right on into that rock.
Alex has decided, and granted, it's a good idea to do this on a Sunday show because less people are listening. In case you want to not really commit to this,
sure.
You can pretend maybe that you didn't say, "Oh, this is all totally."
I said I was on the fence about it, along with the devil.
Right.
It's right there.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, he does explicitly say that this is not a psyop.
Oh.
It just goes on and on. This is no mistake. This is no psyop. This is, oh, and then it actually shows the little girls.
Oh, my God. $29,000 for these little girls right here. It's even got the product code for you right there. We'll be right back with more.
So I don't think it could be much clearer than that.
Wow.
So
really going for it.
Yep. Hope this doesn't turn out poorly and more embarrassingly. I have to give another apology to the CEO of Wayfair or whatever.
I guess a bullet's going to be fired into the internet.
Do you have to give Bezos an apology now?
I don't know.
Anyway.
No one should apologize to Bezos for anything.
We come back here on the 13th now. It's the 12th is mostly
gone.
Yeah.
Wayfair.
So
no stone.
This episode on the 13th is like, okay. Roger didn't show up on Sunday.
Right.
Maybe he's still hangover from, yeah. You know. Monday, you got to be there.
He's got to be there.
You've got to be there.
100%.
Yeah.
Has to be there.
He does not show up.
Ooh, God damn it.
No Roger.
I just want Alex to apologize to us. We have been trying for years to tell him that Stone is going to ratfuck him.
Yeah.
And here, this it doesn't get... Oh,
yeah, Roger doesn't give a shit.
Apologize to us.
So instead of doing the days overdue, hey, Roger, what's going on?
Sure.
Bit, Alex just continues being pretty racist. And talks about this Indiana story a little bit more.
Gotcha. And then I'm going to show you the footage and the newscast about the white woman being shot to death. And the point is, there's now 12-1 black on white crime. And the media is encouraging it. And so some deranged, criminal, mentally ill black people, not even a large minority, but a very active, vicious, small minority of black folks are going out, mainly black males, about 13 to 25, and targeting white people with knockout games and shooting them in the head and stabbing them. And this is all going on. And the media is all busy covering it up.
So there's a cover up in the media of black males between 13 and 25 who are out to kill and knockout game white people.
Yeah. I can't think of any media in American history that would almost primarily focus on 13 to 25 year old black males as being evil.
I certainly don't feel like this has any sort of historical analog.
It definitely hasn't sustained 30,000 seasons of Law and Orders and their various spinoffs.
Hmm. So Alex gets to talk in here, though. I mean, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. And
you're right.
Alex appears to be a bit racist.
Okay.
Now, you would think that if you didn't know all the facts.
Right.
But there's one fact that's kind of important, and that is something we've heard Alex say before, in that no black person who is alive has been the subject of more racism than Alex himself.
We have heard that before.
He talks about that a little bit more.
Great.
I grew up in Dallas, Texas, and I had a lot of black friends as I played sports. And they thought I was crazy when my parents would drop me off in, you know, their neighborhood. Because that area, Rockwall, Texas, had an area that was the older part of town from the older part of the city, and it was mainly the black part of town. And there was some racist black people there. And I got attacked a few times. But my parents are like, well, that's how you make your child tough, kind of old fashioned. I guarantee you there aren't any black people out there probably walking around that have been, let's not exaggerate. I mean, I probably had, I gotten over 100 fights with black people, and almost every time they initiated it. And, you know, I'd beat up some guy my age when I was like 15. And then his brother who was out of prison would catch me at McDonald's and, you know, it would get into a really bad situation. And that'll teach you how to fight when somebody's trying to kill you. So I guarantee you, there's no black people out there that have ever had 100 white people start fights with.
Presented without comment.
Ooh.
Now, one thing.
I can think of 10 U.S. representatives.
Here's something I want to say just sort of axiomatically.
Yeah.
If you have gotten in 100 fights in your life, that's about you.
Why?
Because
what?
Most people don't.
No, that's a regular thing.
Period.
No,
if you've been
no,
in
100
fist fights,
100 fist
that
fights.
Speaks more about you than it does about anybody else.
That's
because
the normal
you,
amount.
There's 100 incidents that have happened.
100
and you are
incidents.
The only commonality between all of those 100 fights.
You and race.
Well, that's the second thing. If Alex is getting in 100 fights with black people, That's the secondary element that makes it even more about you.
Somehow, I don't feel like that number suggests he's blameless.
I think maybe his perspective and perception that they initiated it every time might be a little bit biased.
How much would that suck to play sports with Alex Jones? I'll pass you the ball. I'll pass you the ball. Mm-hmm. But first, have you heard of the John Birch Society?
Maybe it would be, it'd be fun maybe to play sports with before he was 12 or whatever, before he learned about Nundare. I don't know. I can't parse any of that stuff. I don't actually even really necessarily believe his numbers are accurate.
No.
But if you're getting in a lot of fights, that indicates something about you less than it does about other people responding to you.
Yeah.
I believe.
And if you're saying it like that,
you
already know the answer to your question.
So Alex's coverage of that story about the woman in Indianapolis, it had a large trend of trying to make people, white people, afraid of non-white people. If people are yelling Black Lives Matter at you,
they're going to murder you.
There's a chance.
Yes.
Then there's a minority of the minority of black youths who are out to kill white people for fun.
Sure.
And it's all just this. There's just a building of this sort of race-based fear that Alex wants to instill.
And of course, they haven't caught who did it, and the police are overwhelmed, and it's not their fault. And even if you're armed, you're not safe. You just saw that. Let me tell you. East Austin's not safe. Downtown Austin's not safe. There's murders all the time. Robbing, stabbing, shootings. Most of it's racial. Nothing is going to be done about it. These areas are not safe. Don't let anybody lie to you. Any leftist city is not safe. Period. Because control has been lost.
So control has been lost in left-leaning areas. And the specifics that he seems to be operating off of are various places where there's a lot of stabbings and shootings, and they're almost all racially based.
Right.
So these places, it's not so much that they're not safe. They're not safe for white people.
Right.
That's the image that he's trying to just reinforce over and over again. Like, you're in danger, white man.
I will say this right now. If you are thinking about leaving Chicago because it's too leftist for you, go for it. Get on out of here. Go on. Get on. Go into the forest. Come on. Get out of here.
To be fair,
have a great time in that forest.
To be fair, it has nothing to do with any sort of politics, but I do want to go to the forest.
Yeah. Well, see, there you go.
That's different, though. I just want to commune with trees. So in this next clip, Alex discusses Chick-fil-A being a bunch of sellouts.
Sure, sure.
If we keep capitulating, everyone keeps bowing like Chick-fil-A does now and everything.
And everything.
Then there's no future. You know, Chick-fil-A's business doubled in 1 year when they said, we're not evil for staying closed on Sunday. And Hobby Lobby did the same thing. Said, hey, we don't push our religion on you, but we were off on Sunday. We're Christians.
Is that what they said, though?
It's good to rest today anyways.
Alex. Is that one of those?
But now again, Chick-fil-A's son has taken over, and he is a candy ass. Probably being blackmailed, but
probably being blackmailed.
I am Chick-fil-A Jr.
Right.
And I have decided to take over.
So to be clear, the problem with Chick-fil-A and Hobby Lobby wasn't that they closed on Sundays.
No, I'm pretty sure it was the Sunday thing.
Businesses have the absolute right to set their own hours, and there are countless businesses that are closed on Sundays or even on weekends, and no one cares.
No, and we're all really mad about it.
The problem people had with Chick-fil-A was that their owners were pretty anti-LGBTQ and were pretty public about it. Their then CEO, Dan Cathy, said in 2012 that allowing same-sex marriage was, quote, inviting God's judgment on our nation. These comments naturally got some folks unhappy, and in response, a bunch of anti-LGBTQ forces on the right wing turned Chick-fil-A into a pillar of their identity. That was the chicken company that fought for their interests. Mike Huckabee tried to get a Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day going, and it sort of became a way of engaging in homophobic trolling. People wanted to publicly express a disdain for LGBTQ people, but instead of doing it directly, they'd just make a big deal out of supporting Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, it was almost like they were stoked because the Chick-fil-A, they were like, oh, thank God, I don't need to say awful things. I can eat a chicken sandwich and express how much I'm filled with hate.
Yeah. In the process of this whole conversation, it came out that the Cathys had given millions to anti-gay organizations, including ones that promoted conversion therapy. This was what people had a problem with as it related to Chick-fil-A, and that's what Alex is upset that they're not doing anymore. because they announced in 2020 that they'll no longer give money to groups that have explicitly anti-gay positions. Mm. So that's what Alex is pissed off about.
Are you sure it wasn't because we all just assumed that if they were open on Sunday, they wouldn't have time to be this homophobic? You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure that's what we were all thinking.
So for Hobby Lobby, the reason people didn't like them is that they believe that they shouldn't have to provide insurance plans for their employees that included birth control, which was a requirement and a part of the Affordable Care Act.
And they did that because they don't want to force their religion mm-hmm. onto you.
Yeah.
That's why they did that.
Yeah. People objected to a business essentially deciding how to treat their employees based on a religious belief. Oh, and then there was that whole thing in 2017 when it came out that the Hobby Lobby's owner, Mr. Green, he'd paid a $3 million settlement after being found to have bought, quote, smuggled Iraqi antiquities to put in his collection of Bible memorabilia. According to MSNBC, quote, Hobby Lobby hired an expert who warned that the artifacts might have been looted and counseled them to make sure the country of origin was properly labeled on customs forms. Instead, according to the Justice Department, the 5,500 artifacts were shipped without proper documentation.
That seems suspicious.
Yeah, very bad.
Huh.
And then back in March, there was that whole thing where Hobby Lobby told their employees that they were going to stay open despite the rising concerns about COVID-19 because Green's wife, Barbara, had received a message from God saying that everything was cool.
But they're not going to force their religion on anyone, Dan. That's why we're mad at them.
And then they ended up closing all their stores in April.
Okay.
No one cares about these businesses being closed on Sunday. That's totally fine. The problem is that they have other societally destructive behaviors that they carry out in the name of their religion, which people just shouldn't be allowed to engage in.
Yeah, and it seems like he knows that that's why people were mad. Right. He's specifically not bringing it up.
Yeah, that's why he pretends it's just they're closed on Sunday and they love God.
Must be because they're closed on Sunday.
No, it's because of supporting things like conversion therapy, being openly anti-gay, and then trying to flout the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
And looting Iraq.
Okay, there is that. But those are honestly all time-honored American traditions, if we really get down to
it. You're not wrong.
Yeah.
So anyway, Roger's not on today. But
I've talked to Roger Stone today, and I have a lot of
fuck you, Alex.
And I'm just going to leave it at that. He would be here. He would be on Hannity tonight if he's able to.
Sure.
But we're not sure. If he does do Hannity tonight, he'll be here tomorrow.
If.
But he's not yet. Sure. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes I'm at liberty to get into. I'm going to leave it at that.
So sad, man. Yeah.
That is sad.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. If he's on Hannity. You know, Stone might be too busy to go on Hannity tonight, you know.
There's some behind-the-scenes stuff.
There's behind-the-scenes stuff. He might not be able to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, turns out, there's a lot of people have been sort of curious about where Alex stands on the 5G stuff and coronavirus.
Sure.
Because there's a lot of people who, in the sort of weirder fringe communities, who believe that it plays a much larger role
than
Alex necessarily says. However, it turns out the water might be muddier than we think.
Did people point out to me 3 months ago that, hey, you know, you had Dr. Group on 2.5-3 years ago, and he showed documents where 5G in China was causing an autoimmune response in the lungs, and people think they were dying, but there was no liquid. And I called Group up, and he goes, yeah, that's why I won't talk to you. That's why I won't come on. I love you, brother, but you know, they threatened him really bad, and he said he didn't understand why it was that at the time, but he hit the key. This electromagnetic radiation system is getting so powerful that it's definitely exacerbating autoimmune responses in the lungs. And so what David Icke said about 5G is true. It's really exacerbating it.
First things first, David Icke didn't say that 5G is exacerbating the condition that people are having. He said there's no virus, which is a different claim.
No.
Also, with this whole thing about Dr. Group discovering that this is a byproduct of 5G, that's pretty incompatible with the rest of Alex's narrative.
Well, it's a hoax that Dr. Group discovered.
If this is just a 5G thing, then what happened with all the stories about the Wuhan lab? What about that?
That was months ago.
If you just take a second to think about it, you'll quickly run into a wall where nothing makes sense anymore. All of the narratives about Fauci and Bill Gates creating a virus as a bioweapon either becomes completely superfluous, or it has to be readjusted to now actually be about them researching a specific virus that works well with 5G, which hasn't been demonstrated up to this point. Everything needs to change to accommodate this. And Alex hasn't done that. This just makes no sense. Or it's a lucky accident.
This is another one of those moments where he said that, and I'm just like, I guess this is what we're doing then, huh? Yeah. I guess we're doing this. All right.
This is one of these where I just roll my eyes.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, all right.
You're going to ignore this tomorrow.
Here we go.
Who cares?
This is, oh man.
Yeah.
I completely forgot that this was actually all created in the Wuhan lab before it didn't exist.
Right.
Before it
now it's
never
just 5G
existed
or something.
And now it does exist, but it's 5G.
Yeah. I might have just ignored that, but it's been a while since we've had a 5G mention.
Yeah.
And then also Dr. Group getting a shout out.
Hey, gotta let everybody
pretending
know.
Pretending that he's been threatened.
They're still best friends, though.
Love it.
I'm sure.
So anyway, back to Roger. Alex explains a little bit about why Roger isn't around.
And there's the reason you haven't heard Roger Stone on this show yet. He may end up getting on today, tomorrow. He may do Hannity tonight.
Oh,
Roger Stone, judge orders DOJ to submit Trump's commutation order. And so he's still under her jurisdiction, and there's little noises out there. She might gag him again. Why not? Be a total tyrant. So he can't fight while they attack him going forward on his appeal.
So here's where things get a little messy for Alex and Roger. It looks like Trump put out a press release and announcement that Roger's sentence was commuted and that he was being granted clemency, but it looks like he didn't actually provide the appropriate information to the judge in Roger's case, which is causing a little bit of an issue.
Nah.
According to an article in Time about this, quote, although presidents have broad authority to commute prison sentences and issue pardons, the brief order from Jackson, who presided over Stone's trial last year, made clear that the judge still is seeking information and clarity about the clemency, including the actual executive order from the White House, which has not been provided
this
for her.
This is 100%, like, this is fucking Lethal Weapon. This is like, oh, you're a loose cannon. He's doing all that shit. And then it's like, no, in real life, you still have to do the fucking paperwork.
Someone has to do the
paperwork.
And I'm sure it'll get worked out or whatever. There are some issues here, but they can't possibly be what's keeping Roger from coming on InfoWars. Maybe that's the excuse Roger is giving Alex, but Roger's not under any kind of gag order, and he's not afraid to speak out. On Monday, Roger appeared on Sean Hannity's show in an exclusive first interview since the commutation of his sentence.
Because I heard he might not have showed up.
No, he was
there. I heard there was a possibility that he might not
have showed up, and he did not hold back. He was talking shit about the judge and the prosecution all over the place.
Of course.
The only reason Roger isn't on Alex's show now, days after the commutation, is because Roger is choosing not to come on.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's because he knows better, or maybe it's just a thing where he agreed not to appear anywhere before Hannity in return for that booking.
Could be.
It's hard to know exactly what's up, but no matter how you slice it, it's abundantly clear that Alex is not a high priority for Roger anymore. Alex threw him a clemency celebration party on Alex's day off, and Roger didn't show up. Alex said Roger was going to be on the show on Sunday, and he didn't show up. Now on Monday, Alex claims that he has some kind of inside baseball stuff that's keeping Roger from coming on, but he's totally fine being on the same day, like on Hannity the same day.
Yeah.
This is pathetic.
Yeah.
Just grow up and recognize this dude doesn't give a fuck.
Ugh, man.
You're not useful anymore, Alex.
I didn't see any of it because I was trying to avoid it in case we wound up playing clips of the interview or anything like that.
I was thinking about it, but hey, who cares?
But the one thing I did catch was he did thank people, and there was multiple people that was listed in the article, and I noticed one name was strikingly absent.
Is that right?
Yeah. It seemed like if
Alex didn't get a thank you,
it seemed like if he were to thank Alex Jones, that would have been included in the article very highly, right?
Maybe.
If Stone goes out, because they gave a bunch of, like, Matt Gaetz and all of that stuff.
Sure.
And if he had thanked Alex Jones, that would have been Stone thanks Alex Jones right off the bat.
Would have been great as if he thanked the Proud Boys, but not Alex.
Totally. Totally. I'd like to thank Gavin McGinnis. And fuck it, I'll thank Gavin Newsom. But I think I might be forgetting a name. Nope. Not forgetting a name.
So Alex doesn't have Roger, and it's glaring. It's pretty conspicuous.
God, what a sad boy.
Yeah, so instead he takes calls for the second and third hour, and they're really not good calls.
Unhinged.
They're very boring.
Yeah.
He does get one call where they discuss voter fraud and how it's going to be a big problem.
Of course.
And Alex brings up a case in point, man.
Cats, sir. Cats.
The musical?
Are getting ballots in the mail. Cats are getting voter registration. Oh. They're just scraping all names they know of, legal, illegal, dead, you name it, and sending them out to key addresses of Democrats.
This is a fun story and all, but a cat didn't get a ballot in the mail.
Nah, come on.
According to this guy in Atlanta, he received a voter registration application in the mail in the name of his cat that's been dead for 12 years. There's a number of possibilities for what could be going on here. One is that his cat's name may have been used in some kind of a registration list at some point in the past, and someone scraping lists for voter registration drives might have sent an application in error, thinking that the cat was a person. This is plausible, considering that the cat's name was Cody, which could easily be mistaken for a human name if you saw it on a list.
If it were Mr. Fluffikins, different story.
Yeah, that'd be a little... But, I mean, if it's automated... Here's the thing, like, a lot of people use their cat or their dog's name on their, like... orders that they get from like pet supply stores and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's 100%.
It's an easy mistake that could be made
right.
by a third party that's like working on a voter registration drive.
Yeah.
Another possibility is that the guy is making it up. Like, I have no reason to suspect that he is, but I also have no idea what the reality is here. It's just a viral story that people are covering because it's flashy. Yeah. He probably isn't making it up, but who knows?
Well, so the cat died 12 years ago.
Yeah.
So here's... First thought that I'm having right now is 12 years ago, 2008, that's when the internet started getting like everybody was on it.
Okay.
To the point where you were signing up for stuff over and over and over. You were signing up for so many different things.
Uh-huh.
I would not be surprised in an instant if in a fit of paranoia, he was like, I'm not going to use my real name for this one. I'll just use my cat's name
right.
or whatever like that.
That's a possibility.
And then it's 12 years later. It doesn't matter.
There's 100 possibilities for how this could happen.
Yeah.
But whatever happened here doesn't really matter. The cat would never have been able to register to vote. If the guy wanted to commit voter fraud, he wouldn't have been able to successfully send in the voter registration form since the cat wouldn't have any human ID or records. There's no way that this could have resulted in an illegal vote. Also, if the globalists' evil plan is to send out ballots in the names of dead cats, why are they sending them to the owners of these pets who aren't in on the plan? That seems like a really stupid way to go about things, almost like you'd be guaranteed to have people like this dude in Atlanta come out and talk about it. If you were going to do voter fraud, particularly on a large scale, this is the last way you would ever do it.
The first way would be to register people through Wayfair. Everyone knows Wayfair is your one-stop conspiracy shop.
It's gotta be. Now, this next call was weird. So this caller, she's confronting Alex about him saying something about Michael Jackson. So what happened was that Alex was talking...
This is 2020, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alex was talking about everybody wearing masks, and the way his brain just jumps from topic to topic.
Sure.
He remembered that like Michael Jackson and kids wore masks and stuff, and so he's like, yeah.
So he just tossed that into the
non sequitur.
Yeah, just toss it into the soup.
Right.
No big deal. Yeah.
And so this caller did not appreciate that.
Sure.
And I'm only keeping this in because it's kind of funny that this caller is really interested in sticking up for Michael Jackson. And then second, because it reveals how Alex responds when he's confronted about something. He doesn't give a shit.
I do understand. It was just strange how you went from that into Michael Jackson and he wasn't a part of the conversation.
Sure. I have a tendency to just, you know, when we're running out of time on the show to do that.
Just say this real quickly. He only hung one child over the balcony that was his. He didn't give those children wine. And something else you said, he died of propofol. Prince died of fentanyl.
Whatever, man. They're on a bunch of hardcore opiates, is what I'm saying.
But then, man, we're Christian. We're Christian. I'm Christian too. Born again, spirit filled, dude. We gotta be.
Well,
gotta
listen. I'm not a pharmacist, but I remember he was on a whole bunch of those drugs. I remember reading he died of the same thing as Prince, and I thought it was fentanyl. But it might have been some medical grade of it. It's kind of like they got Valium and they got. A different time, like I have one type of Xanax and they got a time release Xanax, so not my intent to deceive. I, you know, quite frankly, I think Michael Jackson was weird, man. So I appreciate your call. I mean, I'll tell you, I think Michael Jackson was creepy. Now, do I go off on Michael Jackson all day long? No.
No, mostly Brian Stelter.
What are we doing here?
I don't know.
What are we doing here?
It's so weird to me, but I think it's interesting the way that this caller is bringing up like concrete things that Alex was wrong about. And he's just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not a pharmacist.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And she's making a good point, which is like, we have to be accurate. You know, you got to be accurate. And you see the disdain Alex has for someone bringing up like whatever, concrete misrepresentations and inaccuracies that he has. He doesn't care, and he kind of resents the idea that someone would...
Whatever.
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, yeah, you're going to talk about things.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It was like, yeah, that's exactly how I would expect him to respond.
I said what I wanted to say. Yeah. Whether it was true or not, you're just splitting hairs.
And it's one of the big reasons why I think it would be so pointless to ever to try to talk to him and be like, here's what you're wrong about. Like...
Use your facts.
Right.
Use your facts. I'm going to say the same shit tomorrow and
doesn't matter. So now here's where things get a little bit dangerous. Alex is just straight up telling his audience not to get tested for COVID.
Oh, good.
Because you know they're going to mess with folks that have a wreck because they're now saying, oh, you never really get well from it. There'll be some new special DNA vaccine you've got to get before you can ever have a job again. I mean, believe me, folks. You don't want to be tested. You don't want to be on record having this. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's good. That's a dangerous mentality.
You don't want to be tested.
You don't want to be tested. Because then they'll give you a false positive and then use that to...
I swear to God.
It's dangerous, man.
You know, like, this is the only thing that makes me think the virus has its own consciousness.
And a lobbying group.
And a big bank account and can afford to hire low-level radio hosts.
It's exactly what you would... like push if you were totally. Wanting things to get worse.
Totally. No, 100%.
Yeah. It's hey, you know, if you feel sick, what the last thing you should do is know whether you're sick or not.
Wouldn't you be like, hey, everybody should get tested so then we can prove with all of our tests that they're lying?
No, because Alex thinks that the tests just give you false positives, or he thinks that the tests themselves give you COVID-19. Or, you know what? It's one of those things. It's like we say that he thinks that.
Yeah.
Who knows if he thinks that?
That's
what he's saying.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
It's fucked up.
Oh, God. I can't believe anybody would say that.
So
I just can't.
We're skipping over a lot of his calls because I just toning out. Some of it's like vaguely racist. Some of it's just boring.
Sure.
But Alex gets towards the end of the show now, and he's getting really introspective and defensive about... Some people have an idea in their mind that his calls are fake.
And I've seen news articles out there, and we've had guests ask, you know, hey, are those fake callers I hear? As if I have time and energy to fake stuff around here. This is all completely real. And that's what's frustrating about it is people are so used to fraud, they don't know something real. When they're seeing it, this is people actually trying to tell the truth, actually trying to figure out what's going on. So call in sometime and experience it for yourself. It's real. You'll be on air. Real things are happening. This is a real world.
I used to think that there was a good chance that Alex's callers could be fake, and I still think there's a possibility that some of them are plants. But the more I listen, the more I think that's less likely. The reason is because there's so many of the same callers who call in over and over, and they appear to be in business for themselves. There's a guy named Carlos who calls in pretty much every show when Alex is taking calls, and he just lectures Alex. Like, it's just like, I don't know what's going on, but this dude, Alex, just lets him talk for like 10 minutes. There's also a guy named Chase the Patriot who calls in pretty much every day, and he's at least partially doing it to promote his own YouTube channel. So there are some real people, but I think some of them might have their own agendas mixed in with trying to become regular callers on Alex's show. That said, the reason I pulled that clip is because Alex is saying that he's trying to tell the truth and trying to figure out what's going on. I'm super offended by that because he doesn't even do the least he could do to figure out what's going on. Day after day, I tune into his show and I hear him read a headline, then tell a story about the article that headline is from that in no way matches what the actual article says, which strongly implies that Alex hasn't even taken the time to read the articles he covers. He's said as much many times in the past when he'll have a stack of paper on his desk and he'll say, I've read some of these articles. We recently found a clip of him talking about how he hasn't even read all of Carol Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, which is supposed to be the foundation of his worldview and the blueprint of the globalists' plan. Alex is not trying to figure out what's going on because he doesn't even do the easiest thing he could do, which is read the stories he's covering on air. Because I know that's the case, it becomes clear that the other thing that he said... that he's trying to tell the truth isn't true. He's lying about trying to tell the truth.
Yep.
Oh, God, just an absolute liar.
I do believe he doesn't have the time or energy to fake stuff because that sounds like it would be effort, and that is not something he's very interested in.
Yeah, and when he tries to do these like set pieces, they fall apart so fucking
disgustingly.
Fast. So if he was intentionally trying to fake something grand. Like, if he was trying to, I don't think he could keep up a bit with a fake call.
No, the only thing that he fails at more than his regular job is when he tries to do a job.
Well, here's what I would say. He can improvise something made up all day long.
Totally.
But when there's another person involved,
not
impossible.
Good. Not good.
Whether it's Owen or David Knight, whenever they try and do bits, it's a disaster. If he was trying to do that with a caller, it would just fall apart.
Yeah, he's not a team player.
No, but alone, he could make up things.
Spin yarns
all day.
All day. Yeah.
So Alex takes a bunch of calls, and then, whoops, I forgot to do the news.
All right, look, I'm not trying to cliffhanger here, but I've got all this coronavirus news.
Oh, so much.
That I need to hit, but I'm out of time. I want to take your calls. So Gerald Celente's got a lot to cover. He's about to take over.
So we're now into, like, the fourth hour, and he's lingering over into Gerald Celente's time because he's got to break this big COVID news.
Of course.
But he can't get to it now because he's got to take your phone calls.
Well, he's got to take your calls.
Right. I just, you know, hey, I've been taking calls for 2 hours that have been largely treading water and fairly boring. I forgot to do the big coronavirus news.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to our evening broadcast. It is election night. The results are in, and we will love to tell those to you, but first we got to take some calls.
Right.
I'm sorry. You're not interested in the in that information until we have taken calls.
So Alex says some of his normal boilerplate nonsense about coronavirus. There's no big news. But, I mean, if you're going to commit to taking calls, I appreciate that at least you're doing that. Whoops, no time for calls.
Look, Mike, and Simon, I want to really go to you guys. I got to about 20 calls. I'm out of time because Gerald Celente is taking over. I'm just going to say this. This is the last day of the big sale. Short free shipping, double Patriot points.
Hey, look, I want to get to this big coronavirus news, but I can't because I've got to go to calls. Look, all these callers, I really want to go to you, but I got to plug. That's the way the Maslow's hierarchy of Alex works. Top priority, fucking selling things.
It is a real nice game of three card Monty that he plays. Oh. You know, like, no matter. Oh, no. You found the queen. Okay, we're going to play one more time. All right. Okay. You missed it this time. Put another 20 down there. You got it the first two times. You're doing great. All right. Okay. So we missed it the second time. All right. But I'm going to have to get out of here. Bye.
So sad. This display.
Wow.
I don't even know. I mean, I get it. You're just trying to sell shit.
It's just a scam.
I find this so amazing. Like, the looking in on this, I know that there's not as much meat as I would like. And I probably skipped over some things that would have just been beating a dead horse in terms of, like, his racism. Like, because there was fairly racist stuff throughout. Yeah. But, like, this is amazing to me. This 2 days is amazing. For one, I can't express to you how shocked I am that Roger didn't show up. Like, that to me is such a gigantic sign of the times.
Yeah.
Alex has been one of the only people who's been so out there being like, free Roger Stone.
Put his neck on the line.
To the point where Alex was getting pissed off that some of the money was being funneled to Roger's defense funds and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, on Monday, it has been days. Roger has had every opportunity to call in or
5 seconds.
Failing that, record something in advance to send to Alex.
Easy.
It would have been easy. Alex would have dropped everything to pre-record something.
Totally.
And Roger is clearly not giving Alex the time of day.
Doesn't need him anymore.
That's fucking nuts.
I will admit, the Stone situation has, like, I'm past whether or not the justice system works. We're way past that. I find this now hilarious in a schadenfreude way that I can't fully express. Like, the way he's shitting all over Alex by not showing up on his show, that's schadenfreude of the highest order.
The thing that I have to keep holding on to, and I know that maybe I'll look silly for this in hindsight, is, like, I'm sure he'll be there on Tuesday. I haven't been able to listen to this because of when we record our episodes.
Right.
But I'm sure he would have to be there on Tuesday. I can see a very easy, an explanation for this that Alex would never want to talk about, and that is that Roger gave the exclusive to Hannity, which still means that Alex is lower on the totem pole than places that are really actually media.
But I mean, that case, you're like, you know what? You take that on the chin if you're Alex. You're not Hannity.
I don't think Alex takes anything on the chin.
That's fair. That's a good point.
He's not the kind of guy who's like, hey, you know, you take your lumps.
That's fair.
That's got to be brutal for him. Yeah. The guy who he changed his entire show for, more or less, is he gets the vindication and he celebrates it with an exclusive on Hannity instead of with his bro? What the fuck?
I can taste how good that Schadenfreude is.
Privately, that's got to be brutal. But I bet he'll be on the show on Tuesday. But now, I mean, like, the thing becomes, on our next episode, are we going to tune back in and be like, Roger's not on Tuesday?
I can't wait. I can't wait for him not to be there. I want Roger to cut ties.
This is a will they won't they I'm actually invested in. Not since Dr. House and Lisa Cuddy have I been as invested in a will they won't they.
I want that Schadenfreude to have a Michelin star, Dan.
The second thing about these 2 days that I think is actually like really shocking is the Wayfair thing. Like, Alex was in the clear entirely on the 11th when he got in studio and did his hey, this is a trap, but maybe it's something.
Yeah,
you leave the door open enough that in case if you have to, you can say, I didn't say it wasn't something.
Worst case scenario.
Exactly. But you still have the, like, hey, if the media wants to try and say that I was on this bullshit,
sure.
I said the day
from
of
the jump
that it was a honey trap.
You got it.
But then on Sunday, for no reason, unforced error, just coming out and being like, yeah, this is absolutely what this is. It's real. So bizarre.
It's so nice. It's kind of refreshing. I'm used to seeing the Democrats snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And to watch Alex really, really step in shit here.
But who knows how it's going to turn out. It might end up not being all that bad for him, but like tactically, it seems like a really stupid decision.
Oh, it's a terrible idea.
Yeah, and he of all people, should know that because he explained why it's a stupid decision on Friday.
Yes.
Or Saturday, as
very,
it were. Yeah.
Very specific. It's even succinctly.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see what happens. Hopefully Roger's on Tuesday, hopefully not.
I hope he never comes back.
We'll find out.
Ugh.
But until then, we'll be back, but we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, and you have your website for your book.
Oh, yeah, the book is thequietpartloud.com.
We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight, and @GoToBedJordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are Facebook. You download the show, iTunes, rate, leave a review, or if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area.
Or a bear fund.
Or a bear fund.
Yes.
They are also endangered.
Uh-huh.
And donate to them, and we'd be very appreciative of that as well.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX Clark, I am Roger Stone's booking agent.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.